Okay, Chav Zayin Amid Aleph, five lines before the Mishnah, middle of the page. 27A1 at the end of the page. Okay, the Mishnah said it then, the new Gemara. The Mishnah said that a woman whose husband was captured, al Ayidei Nefashis, if it's for capital punishment, so then we assume, because the guy was going to get killed, the guys would fool around with the guy's wife, and therefore she's forbidden to stay married to the husband, because maybe in the middle she willingly did it. If it was for monetary things, then we'd say that they're afraid to start up with the women, so therefore she's mutter. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav, Rav gives an example. What does it mean, the woman's husband was taken for capital punishment? The wives of thieves. Because in those places, if you're a thief, they killed you. So because they were going to hang them, so therefore they would make their properties and their wives free for all. So therefore everybody was able to be with them. Levi Amar, look, he says, not as Tamazay, but Ishto Shaben Dunoi. Dunoi was a murderer. So for murderer, then they were afraid to start up. Okay? Why? Because they did not make free their wives of thieves. Therefore, let me know this. Levi argues on Rav. Rav says, if the guy was caught stealing, the wife would be assumed that they fooled around with the wife. Levi says no. For stealing, they wouldn't kill the husbands and play around with the women. If it was a murderer like Ben Dunoi, so then the wife would be assumed that they lived with her. But Amr Chizkiya says another argument. Chizkiya says, though, that's only if the court ruled that the husband's going to get killed. Then we assume the guy's fooled around with his wife, and maybe she did it willingly, so she wouldn't be allowed to stay married to the husband. And Rabbi Yechanan says, no. Even though they didn't rule yet finally that he's going to get killed, he went to court, but they didn't rule that he's going to get hanged. So then, she's still ushered to the husband. Basically, the Gemara's issue over here is very simple. If we're afraid they fooled around with the wives, we assume the wife maybe did it willingly, that they shouldn't hurt her. So therefore, she's also to the husband. So Rav says, what's the case of that? If a guy was a thief, they would already play around with his wife. Levi says, no, only if a guy murdered somebody, then they would kill him and fool around with the wife. That's issue number one. Then there's another theory. Chizkiya says that the only time they would start fooling around with the wives is if they ruled that he has to get killed. But if they didn't rule yet he's getting killed, then they're not going to fool around with the wives, because maybe they're going to change the verdict. And Rabbi Yechanan says, even not as long as he said they were going to get killed, he's going to get killed already. They would fool around with the wives.
The problem is a woman? What's going on?
The question is like this. By the Goyim, once the guy is getting killed, like all his property is free for all, including the wives, so we're afraid that they either raped him or did something else to the women. But we learned before in the Gemara, they were afraid that in middle, the wife might willingly want to do it. Once she willingly wants to do it, she cannot stay married to her husband, even if he's not a Kohen. If she was, God forbid, raped, even if he's a Kohen, she can't stay married to him. Right? But if it's a Yisrael, it's only if willingly. So we're afraid in all these cases that they willingly did it, she willingly participated in it, and therefore she would be forbidden for the husband. Okay, now the Gemara says it's a new Mishnah. Mishnah says like this. Irksha kapshuk krakum, karkum. It's called the siege army. Meaning they surrounded the city, and then they conquered the city. Goyim came into a Jewish city and conquered the city. So the Gemara says, kol koyhanis shenimtsu b'secha, any wife of a Kohen who's found in the city, psulis are not allowed to stay married to the husband. Why? Because the occupying army comes into the city, they plunder and rape all the women, and therefore, it's wives of Kohenim, so all the Mrs. Kohenim in the city are not allowed to stay married to the husband anymore. What happens though, im yeshlo im edim, what happens if they have witnesses, afilu eved v'shivcha, even if it's a slave or a female slave, that testify that they weren't raped about this Mrs. Kayin, the din is namanim, they're believed. Meaning like this, even though an eved is not a kosher witness, a shivcha is a female eved, which is the same din, they're not kosher witnesses, but because this whole, we're not sure that they were raped. The Rechachamim say there's an assumption that they were raped. And therefore they're not allowed to stay married to their Kohen husbands. But if they have any type of testimony whatsoever, even from a non-kosher witness, that they weren't touched, they're believed. Because it's only a rabbinic fear, maybe, we don't know they were raped, we assume maybe. So if there's any type of witness that says they weren't touched, we believe them. But, ein adam nemen al atzmi. But the person is not believed on herself. Meaning, if the woman herself comes and says it wasn't touched, we don't believe her. Unless it's the good Peshos and Peshita, like in the Gemara before. But here that's not the case. We know there's an army around the city. So the Gemara, the Mishnah says very simple. An army conquers a city, all the women that are married to a Kohen cannot be married anymore to the Kohen, we assume they're raped. Any witness whatsoever comes and testifies they weren't touched, we believe them. But the woman is not able to testify on herself. That's what the Gemara says. Okay, so Gemara says, with Aminu, I'll ask you a question. A contradiction to our Mishnah. It says in another Mishnah, it says like this. Baleshes Shabaliir. Baleshes is also a type of troops. It's similar to what the Mishnah says, the Karkum. Except Baleshes means they search out the hidden treasures of the city. But they conquer the city.
So it says, it's the army. The troop is the army.
An army, yeah. So it says like this. Bishash Shalom, if they're coming during peacetime, and that's the Vart over here. Armies, the first, our Mishnah talks about armies in wartime. They come into a city, they plunder the city, so the women are forbidden. This is speaking about guys that come into the city, not to conquer the city, to find hidden treasures. And they're willing to kill for it. I mean, there's no war going on. They just come to raid the city. So it says like this. If there's peace in peacetime in the world, meaning in this area, okay, then chavias pesuches asures. Open wine barrels are treif, stumes mutares. The sealed ones are mutar. Meaning like this. If a guy touches wine, yayin esach, yayin stam, whatever. So during peacetime, the goyim will not hesitate for a minute to drink wine. Because they're there to plunder. They're there to get whatever they can get. So they're going to find open barrels of, we assume that the goyim drank from the barrels. If they're sealed, then even if the goyim touched it, it doesn't matter.
What time? Not Shalom, right?
This is at the time of Shalom.
Okay. But if it's actual war.
1 minute. Bishas Muhammad. But if it's wartime, whether they're open or sealed, they're both allowed.
They don't have time for that.
They don't have time. They're busy fighting a war. They're not going to go drink wine. You know what I mean? But during peacetime, they're coming into a city to steal from the city, to rob the bank, so to speak. So they see wine, they'll drink it. They have time. They're not rushed. So if it's an open barrel of wine, we assume they touched the wine in the strafe. If it's a sealed barrel, obviously, they didn't open it. But if it's wartime, everything's mutter. Because even the open wine, they have no time to go stop drinking wine.
Wartime, you mean between Jews or between different countries?
Huh?
Or war between which countries?
It doesn't matter. War in that area.
Not Jews not involved?
No. Now, wartime, they're too busy about war than to do it, right? Yeah? Now. What do we see from here? The Gemara says like this. So the question of the Gemara is, in peacetime, yeah, they're gonna defile the women. During wartime, they're not gonna defile the women because they don't have time. In other words, the Gemara thought now, wine and women are the same. If they have time for the wine, they have time for the women. They don't have time for the women, they don't have time for the wine either, right? Now, our case is karkum, means it's a wartime. It's not plundering type of people. It's wartime. Yeah? And the Gemara says that the women are forbidden. Right? So the Gemara asks, in this price, this Mishnah says about the wine, that if it's wartime, they don't have time for the wine. If that's the case, they don't have time for the women either. So why does our Mishnah say women, the women are defiled and therefore the Koyanim's wives cannot stay married to the Koyanim? Why is it different than the Mishnah that says at wartime, they're so busy fighting the war, they don't have time for wine and women? That's the Gemara's question. The Mishnah, the second Mishnah says, during wartime, the soldiers have nothing on their mind but war. So they have nothing on their mind but war. Correct? Therefore, the wine is kosher, because we're not afraid they touch the wine. So the Gemara's assumption is now that they're not going to touch the women either. Right? If they're so busy fighting, they're not going to fool around with the women. They don't have time. So why does our Mishnah say, during wartime, an army that comes into the city, all the Kayanim's wives are forbidden to stay married to the Kayanim because they were defiled. This Mishnah says during wartime they don't have time for anything. So that obviously the women are not going to become defiled either. So Rav Mari says an interesting answer. Livel yeshpinai, for defiling the women they have time. Lenatzich empinai, they don't have time for the wine. And that's what Gemara says, they're more interested in the women than the wine. For the women, and this is how Rashi explains it, they'll find time to rape them. Wine, they're busy, so they won't drink wine. Huh? So therefore, the Gemara, Rav Mari says it's not a contradiction. This is one answer in the Gemara. But this is, one answer is, there's a different, our Mishnah speaks about wartime with the women. It's one din. That even during wartime, the women are defiled, and therefore they're raped, and therefore they cannot stay married to the Korean husbands. And the Mishnah talks about wine, they're speaking about wine. During wartime, they're not gonna go drink wine. First of all, it's another issue. They're not gonna get drunk when they're fighting a war. Right? They're fighting a woman, they'll rape her and go, continue. But they're not gonna get drunk. So my answer is, there's no connection between the two missions. Now he says like this. Rav Yitzchak bar Elazar Mishmei Dechizki Amar, there's a difference also. Is it the army of the same country or the army of a different country? This is how he differentiates the two Mishnahs. The army of the same country is not going to go around raping their women. They protect the citizens. They might be fighting, but Vinashvi, it's their country.
Right.
They're not going to defile the women. A government of a different, the army of a different government, they're going to rape the women. They don't care. So therefore, that's the second answer that Rabbi Elazar says, when it's the siege army of the very kingdom that the city is part of, then they're not going to rape the women. And therefore, the women are kosher to the husbands. This, that our Mishnah says, that the women are not allowed to stay married to the husbands of Kayanim because they were raped, is speaking of government, the army from a different government. They're not interested in protecting their citizens. They'll do whatever they want. So the Gemara asked 1 minute, but even in the same government, Gemara said, you're going to tell me that one soldier couldn't run away? The local government, the local army. You don't think one soldier can run away from the group and rape a woman? They could do it, why not?
Minority.
Yeah. So the Gemara says, no, you know what the story is? All the guards see each other. So they make sure nobody's running away. So the Gemara says, you tell me a guard doesn't fall asleep, and when he falls asleep, the guy can run away and rape a woman. So he says, Amar Ablevi, listen to this. They surrounded the city with chains, the soldiers. They didn't want any soldiers or guys running away, right, from the army. So they would put chains around, that if the guy went over the chains, it would make noise and wake everybody up. And they would put dogs, spikes, and geese.
You had time for all that?
No, that's what they did. They didn't want any
defectors.
Defectors, yeah, good word. Defectors. So they would make chains, and they would bring dogs and geese to make a lot of noise. If a guy would run away, they would know that he's running away. So this is... This is all the explanation of this Gemara, which is interesting. In other words, the way Rabbi Yitzchak ben Rabbi Elazar answered, is if it's the local army, the women are not going to be raped. Therefore, they're still kosher. Like the Brice about the wine. I mean, the Mishnah about the wine. Our Mishnah, it says women are defiled, and therefore they cannot stay married to the Koyanim, is speaking an army of a different country. Then the Gemara just asked a bunch of questions. Maybe there's a defector, maybe this, maybe that. And the Gemara answered all the questions. Okay, there's no defectors.
What is defector?
A guy that ran away from the army.
Deserter.
So the Gemara says like this. This is Mamish exact same Gemara, but just, Amr Rababa Bar Zavda, Rababa Bar Zavda said, Pligaba Rabbi Yudin Nasiya, and the Chachamim argued. One of them says it like this. What's the answer to the question, the contradiction between the two Mishnahs? Exactly what we said. What is the army of the local army, local country? They don't rape the women. The other government, the army of a different government raped the women. And he had no questions on this. All the Gemara's questions, maybe they'll run away, a defector, he didn't have any of the questions. And the other one learned the Gemara that all these people had questions. And he answered again, there's chains and dogs and geese and spikes and all that. We're just saying that this is the same argument these two rabbis had. But Lepoyel, there's an interesting thing. The Gemara asks a question, a contradiction between the two Mishnahs, and the Gemara answered two answers. Okay? Our Mishnah says, an army comes to a city, we assume they raped all the women, and therefore all the Kohanim's wives cannot stay married. Another Mishnah said, during wartime, they're so busy with the war, they don't touch any wine or women. So Gemara answer, one answer is the difference between wine and women. Women that defile, the wine not. Second answer is, it depends what type of army it is. If it's an army of the local country, then the women are not raped, and that's what the wine story is, that during war, they will not defile the women, like the wine. And the other case is a government of a different country.
But the lesson of the mission is Ir Shekhovshua, the city that they captured it. It's like local army, they don't capture it on country.
That you're just adding the explanation of the Gemara, what the difference is. See, the Mishnah that the Gemara quotes, Balesh is Ba'ali Ir. He came to the city. That means they're not interested in conquering, because it's their own country.
Yeah.
They just want to plunder, want to get money.
But the Lashon is Kavshuha, means they capture it.
That's a different country.
Different country.
That's the Gemara, that's why the women are forbidden, because they're coming from a different country to capture it. And if anything, you're proving,
I know,
you're proving the Gemara's answer.
Yeah.
The different expression, Amish just says, an army that conquered the city. If it's your own country, what are you conquering the city for? And the other Mishnah says, an army that comes to the city. Not captured.
From where though?
No, right. From the different city.
From another city.
Yeah.
In the same state.
Same country, whatever, yeah.
Passing through maybe? The army?
I don't know.
The Golani unit is visiting Yerushalayim. Let's see, kind of like that.
Yeah.
The northern troops are coming into the south for a trip.
It's enough. Some ISIS, they do like this, you know, when they go, they do this kind of things.
They do everything. They rape, they kill, they plunder.
Exactly
they
like this.
Yeah. And the old times the same way. What do you think? The Crusaders didn't do it, and the Cossacks didn't do it, and they all did it.
It was brutal back then.
Brutal.
It's like no mercy.
They would do it. Whatever they wanted to do, they did. It's like in America, a police shoots a black guy. They hate the black guy more than we do, and the whole city's rioting.
Because he got shot 16 times.
So what?
In Chicago.
So what?
I mean, so what?
But they it's okay. The guy's getting he's tried as a murderer. No.
Okay.
So, no, they ruled he's a murderer. So what, now, what do you want?
But he shot the kid 16 times.
So.
How old was the kid?
16.
So the kid, one for each year.
Doesn't make a difference. Huh?
One bullet for each year.
I have a videotape of it.
He wouldn't die.
See, it's not the Chicago of Mayor Daley's time.
Well, that's true. Lama Manuel's
Mayor Daley said shoot to kill. By the riots in 68.
Well, that is a different era.
Different world, yeah. Wow.
But that's a Mashiach world. Life is actually precious now.
His attorney said he has a defensive...
One guy gets killed, everyone's up in arms.
Sometimes he has a case.
That's Mashiach.
Yeah, that's a case.
People actually care now.
The one attorney that took it.
So that's a good sign.
To defend him.
Yeah. He has a good case.
Rabbi, I think that's a good sign, though. You know, if people care about it, one life...
They don't care. That's the issue. They care about it. Rodney King. Anybody cared about Rodney King? Come here.
Yeah.
They cared about
him. What happened in the city?
It was
an excuse to do whatever you want. Okay. What was that?
This is my phone.
Oh.
I think the turkey's ready.
That's coming.
Amar Rav Idi bar Abin, Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Ashin. This is interesting Gemara. Im yesh sham machvua achas. Okay, bottom line is, the Mishnah, our Mishnah said it then. Army comes to the city from a different country. All the women were defiled. Now what happens? There's some hideouts over there.
What?
A place to hide.
Oh, yeah.
For who?
For the women. So the Gemara, this is what the Gemara says. Im yesha machvoyachas, if there's one hiding place even, matzelas alakayanis kulam. In other words, if there's a tunnel dug underneath that the army is not going to see, and they hid there, and now even if, we will see in the Gemara what that means. If there's a hiding place, then all the women are kosher.
And no
gzera. Huh?
No gzera.
No gzera. Wow. Why? We assume... No, now the Gemara is going to discuss, is that if the woman says it, or even if she doesn't say it? But what the Gemara is saying now, a statement, if there's an underground tunnel, a hiding place where the women could have hid, then we assume that the women hid. And therefore they weren't defiled. So now the Gemara says... Boy, Rabbi Yemiya asked the Shaila like this. Eina machzekes ala achas. What happens if the hiding place can only hold one woman?
That's not going to work.
One second. No.
Really? You assume that's the one.
Let's say there's 50. Okay, let's make it more realistic. Let's say from the whole city there's 10 women married to Kayanim. Okay? So the our Mishnah says all 10 cannot stay married to the husband. Then the Gemara says, if there's a hiding place, they're all kosher. Because we assume they hid and they weren't raped. But after Rabbi Yemiya, now after Shaila, what happens if there's only room for one woman in the hiding place? Okay? Now, mi amrinan, do we say, kol chada v'chada, at each woman that, which is questionable, we say, hai noha, she's the woman that could have hid. Maybe we don't say it. Maybe all the women were violated.
It's like when we find a tray for meat by
outside.
That's what I was thinking. The Gemara is going to talk another case that we learned already before in the Gemara.
Right.
Two roads, just Tumah and one, and the guy went. Okay, we'll see that in a second. Now.
What about the meat?
He brings down at the bottom, it's an interesting point. He brings down at the bottom, there's a machlekes in the poskim. Is it only if the woman says she hid? And we assume that we trusted that she hid? Or even if she doesn't say she hid, the fact that there was a cave to hide in, they're automatically kosher.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you mean, why?
If there is one person, if they want
the opposite. No, if one person? Why would you assume that one person actually is the one who hid?
No, they discuss. One second.
This is only Gezerah. We don't go that far, you know. As long as, one
No, so the discussion is it one hiding place? Do all the women know the hiding place? How do they get in there? But the Gemara's question is very simple. It, So let me explain before we go further in the Gemara, what Rabbi Yirmiyahu's question really is. There's 10 women that are married to Kohanim. The army comes. There's hiding place for one person. So, what's his name said? Ravi de Barabin said, Ravi Yitzchak, that we assume the women hid. Okay, but the bottom line is, only one woman can hide.
Right.
So his question is like this. Woman one comes to Bezdin. Okay? Woman one comes to Bezdin. Can I stay married to my husband? So this is the question. Do we say a hiding place for one? Yeah, you're the one. You're kosher. Comes number wife two. And they say, she says, can I stay married to my husband? They say, yeah, there's one hiding place. Maybe it's two.
Oh, if they come separately.
That's what the Gemara is going to go into now. Because we learned that before, coming together separate.
It took turns.
So the question Rabbi Yirmiyahu asks, do we look at each one individually? Or do we say, no, there's only room for one, so majority did not hide, so they're all not kosher? That's the question.
Sure.
Huh? Okay, so the Gemara says like this. Umay shna. Now the Gemara is asking on his question, why are you asking this question, L'cheira? It's a clear-cut din in a different case. What's the case? Maishna Mishnei Shvilin, the two roads. Remember we learned this Gemara before. Echad tameh v'echad tor. One had a grave and one didn't. Okay? There's road A and road B. One of the two had a grave. We don't know which one. But we know for sure one of the two roads have a grave. One guy went on road A with the truma, you know, tore her things. And then his friend came, and the friend walked on B. So in other words, Reuven walked on road A, Shimon walked on road B. Now, L'cha'era, one of them is for sure Tame. Correct?
Right.
No. So what's the halacha? So Rabbi Yehuda says like this. Im nishal zeh b'fnei atzmei v'zeh b'fnei atzmei, if they come separately, then, tahedis, they're both tahar. Shneim ka'achas, they come together, tmeis. This is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Before we go to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, let's just see. Rabbi Yehuda imer, ben kachu ben kach tmeim. They're both tamei. Regardless. Now, l'cheira, it doesn't make sense. Just think logically. How could you say, if they come separately,
right,
they're both tahar, which is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, it doesn't make sense.
And we know that one took this one and one took that one.
One went A, one went B, there's for sure Toma and A or B. It doesn't make sense. But Rabbi Yehuda says like this. You look at each guy individually. They didn't come together. If they come together, then inevitably, one for sure one's Tomei.
Right.
And because we don't know, both are Tomei.
Okay.
But if they come separately, and this guy is a doubt. Correct? Reuven is a doubt. Reuven comes to Bez and says, you know what? I went and run the roads. I don't know where the Tome is. What's the story? So Bezin says like this. There's a din, a doubtful Tumah in Rosh Hashanah. We learned before. If it's in a public domain and a doubtful Tumah, the guy's tahar. He's pure. Mm-hmm. So now Reuven comes. So Rabbi Yehuda says like this. We look at Reuven. We don't know, is he Tomei, is he not Tomei? Bottom line. So what's the din? It's a doubt. So he's taught. Shimon comes afterwards. And now, Shimon's here now. Reuven's not here. Right. Shimon asks a question. I went on one of the two roads. One of them is in Tomei, one of them is in Tahar. What's the din? Bezin looks at him and says, Shimon, it's a doubt. So you're Tahar. This is what Rabbi Yehuda holds. Rabbi Yaisi says, come on, who are you fooling over here? It doesn't matter if they come together. We meanwhile in the Gemara. It doesn't matter if they're coming together or coming separately. Bottom line, one of them's Tomei. What are you, crazy? How could they both be Tahar?
Right.
You know, I'll tell you where you have a similar case to this, by the way.
For the meat, if you have meat outside the store.
No.
Let's do the meat.
It's similar. But let me give you another case. Jews also majority like the meat, by the way. You have 10 spoons. One spoon became treif. For sure became treif. It was a mefleshik, a spoon, you mixed hot chocolate with it. On Rodeo Drive, the hot milk chocolate, you know, they're gonna mix it with. Yep. The spoon is for sure treif. You have to kasher the spoon. Some yukel took the spoon and put it back together with all the other spoons. We don't know which one's treif. No, we don't know which one's treif. Now, 9 spoons are kosher. One spoon is treif. Okay? So now, one opinion says, and that's the halacha, by the way, it's my machikas in the other day, in Shulchan Aruch. One opinion says, you can use 9 out of the spoons. You can't use all 10. Because one's for sure treif. But you can use 9. Why can you use 9? Because every spoon I pick up, I'm asking, is this spoon kosher or not? So the din is, you go by the majority. Like by the meat, right? 9 spoons are kosher, 1 treif. So, presumably, which is this spoon coming from? From the majority. The majority is kosher, this spoon's kosher. Each spoon that you look at, you say it comes from the majority and it's kosher. Right. But the 10th spoon can't be kosher.
Right.
Because one spoon for sure is treif.
Right.
How can you say all 10 are kosher? Right? It's practical halacha, by the way. You know, you find many times people put away, get this little question later, put away spoons to kosher it, the housekeeper comes, and they forgot, and they mixed it back, the dishes, the cutlery, all the time it happens, yeah? So, one opinion says, you can use 9 out of the 10, because each one of the 9, halachically, is kosher, because it comes from the majority. But to use the 10th, how could you? One's treif.
Forever? Like this?
Huh?
Forever it's going to be like this?
No, until you catch it.
Oh.
No, but the second opinion says you can use all 10.
Right.
I once treif.
No.
But you look at each spoon individually. Spoon 1. Majority is kosher? Kosher. Spoon 2? So that's
the
it.
Rose is a 50-50 chance, so it's not majority. There's no majority.
Yeah, but the din is Suffolk Tumen Rishus Rabim. A doubtful Tumen Rishus Rabim is Tohar. So as long as it's a doubt, in a public domain, it's taught. The roles are in a public domain.
Okay.
So the Rebbe says, even though it's illogical, but sorry, all the laws of Tumen Tahor are illogical, but so the Rebbe says, if they come separately, and each one you look, is kosher. Rabbi Yossi said, but if they come together, Mamish coming together, you can't say...
You can't do Suffolk.
Yeah, no, because one for sure. Okay? Rabbi Yossi says, regardless to Tumis. But now the Gemara says like this. V'amer Rava, and Rava said, and some people say, Rabbi Yechanan said like this. That's not the argument. V'bas achas, if the two come together, David al-Kol Tumim, both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi hold the Tumim. V'zach is one after the next. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda say, both Tahar. Both are Tahar. He said... They're not arguing about that. Even though it sounded not like that, but he says that's not the argument. If they come together, they're both tummy, according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. If they come separately, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi both say they're torn. So what's the argument? A guy comes and asks about himself and his friend.
A guy?
Reuven and Shimon walk down the roads.
Yeah.
Now Reuven comes to Bezin himself. And so I'm asking for myself and for Shimon.
Uh-huh.
Oh. Shimon's not here.
Right.
But Reuven says, I'm asking for myself and Shimon. Mm-hmm. So Rabbi Yehuda holds, it's like they come separately. And therefore they're both Tahar. And Rabbi Yossi says, they're coming together and therefore it's Tamar.
It seems more logical to be together if he says I'm asking for him.
Not necessarily, because, you know, his friend could have been traveling behind him a day's distance. He knew he was coming, and they both passed the same road. So, you know, he just... maybe the friend stopped off at a restaurant.
No, we'll see. Let's see this inside the Gemara. Lei nechukum. This is, when did they argue? Bebali shul olav al chaveli. He comes to ask for himself and his friend. So mar, meaning Rabbi Yisi, medam lol bebasachas. Rabbi Yisi said, listen, the guy's coming for him and his friend, right? So Bezin is making one ruling. If it's one ruling, it's like they're coming together, so they're both tamei. What does Rabbi Yudah listen to what Rabbi Yudah says? And one Rabbi Yudah says, no, if I come for me and I'm asking for me and you, it's like one after another. Why? So the Mefarshim explained like this. Bezdin doesn't have to answer him about his friend. Reuven comes to Bezdin and says, this is the story. I went road A, Shimon went road B. Are we good or not? So Bezdin says to Reuven, you're good. They're not answering about Shimon. He understands that later when he tells Shimon what the ruling is, he understands. Shimon's also torn. Because if they tell Reuven you're okay,
also,
then Shimon's okay. Right? So it's not coming together. Because Bezdin's telling Reuven you're okay.
Well, his benefits,
I think. Right. So this is the argument. In other words, Rabbi Yudah holds, it doesn't look like the sage, the Rav is lying or saying untruth. Because Rav says, Reuven, you're Tahar. And because if Shimon comes later, he's going to get the same answer.
Right.
Not together. Rabbi Yaisi says, come on. Even if they're not answering about Reuven, but the bottom line is the guy's asking both people together. Mm-hmm. You know, were you playing games? So therefore they're both tummy. Now, the Gemara said all this for a question. Rabbi Yirmi asked a question. If there's one hiding place for one woman, mm-hmm. are all 10 women kosher or not? What's the question? Mm-hmm. Do we look each one separately or do we look at them together? Now obviously, if there's room for one, 10 people can't hide in the cave. And if 10 people can't hide in the cave, they're all defiled.
So if each woman comes separately, then they're
so
all
so that's what Gemara says, Hoch Hanami, Kiv in the Shorele Lukulu, because you're simultaneously permitting all the women, but Basachas Dami, it's like they're coming all together. And how can you say they're all good? Meaning like this, Bezdin is ruling, yeah, Bezdin is ruling all the women are tahar. They're not defiled. They weren't raped. That Bezdin giving a general ruling to all the women, right? So if they're giving a general ruling to the women, it's like they're all coming together. So what's Rav Yirmiyah's question? It for sure should be no good. Why? Because like this. There's a Rashi says, this is what Rashi learns in Gemara. When there's an argument between Rabbi Yaisi and Rabbi Yehuda, the halacha, Rashi says, here, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yaisi, halacha and Rabbi Yaisi. That's the rule. There's an argument Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yaisi, the halacha is like Rabbi Yaisi. What does Rabbi Yaisi say? When a person comes to ask for himself and his friend, it's like they came together. Right? Now, this question, basically, is, even if one woman comes alone, but she's asking for all of them.
Is she?
Yeah, that's the way the Gemara says now. That's the thought of the Gemara now. Because it's like they're coming together. And he says, even though the wives don't come all together, the ruling of one of them is regarded as ruling for all of them. What does Rabbi Yaisi say? If I ask for me and for you, the ruling for me is for you also. Correct?
But she's asking only for
herself. 1 minute. But it's like, but in this case, because the Beis Din is ruling whether all the women are tamei or not, or defiled. So what's the difference? It's like they're asking for themselves and their friends. It should still be no good. Now, so the Gemara answers, Hachi Ashto, what's the comparison? The case of the women is not at all similar to the case of the Tumah. Why? Over there, one road is for sure Tamei. Over here, we don't know any woman was defiled, raped.
Right.
There's an assumption, maybe. So how can you compare our case to that case? You're strict by the two roads because there's for sure a tumah on one of the roads. If there's for sure a tumah on one of the roads, you come and ask for yourself and your friend, your tummy. But by the way, like the Gemara says, Hachi Ashtu, what's the comparison? Hasam vada ikatuma. By the roads, right, there's for sure tummy. And therefore, for sure, one of the two guys are tummy. Right? So if he's asking for himself and his friend, one of them is for sure tummy. So then they both have to be tummy. But here there's a whole different issue. First of all, were they raped? And if they were, was this woman raped? It's like,
it's a whole different story.
The male that Rabbi Yirmiyah's question still remains.
If there's only one hiding place, is it good or not? We don't know yet, yeah?
Well,
if there's only one hiding place.
Right.
We don't know the answer yet, yeah?
Well, he brings out at the bottom, even though Agamar doesn't answer the question, but the Rif holds, interestingly, there's a hiding place for one woman, they're all good.
Yeah.
They're all good.
Yeah, it's not like the Rishut Harabin.
Because over there's for sure.
But here it's not, we don't know.
Here's not. So you could be lenient.
So the case of a spoon is like Rishut Harabin, it's not like our case.
No, but they're just, all spoons are kosher also.
No, one of them we know.
No, it's a one opinion. Yeah, but over there.
It's not like our case. It's like case of the two motel.
Right.
One for sure is.
Right.
Interesting.
What was that case about the mice and the hummets in Pesach? Took the bread, the gray one went in, the white one came out. And
what?
Yeah.
Similar?
No.
No.
Well, there was a story, you did Bedikas Chametz in a room. And then you saw a mouse going in with a piece of bread. So then you have to do Bedikah again. What happens if you saw a mouse go in and the mouse went out with the bread? Is it the same bread or is it different bread? And then the question is what happens if a black mouse went in and a gray mouse went out? With the bread. Is it the same mouse, the same bread? That's the question.
You still have chametz, it doesn't matter.
No, do you have to go do Bedikas chametz again?
And then you got a problem.
Why?
You got mice in your house.
That's true.
That's a bigger problem, yeah?
That's a bigger problem.
Not in the time of the Gemara, there are mice all over the place.
Well, I know that, but okay.
There are mice all over the place, isn't You know, the Yiddish homes, I told you, the Yiddish homes used to have cats in them.
Yeah?
To catch the mice.
I remember the bakeries in New York also, when we were Bochrim. In the back of the bakery where they bake, were dirty and all the dough and... They used to have cats at night.
In Iran too.
They have cockroaches
because
too.
They have cat, no mice.
You know when we had the cat underneath this building?
Yeah.
We never had a mice problem.
That's right.
Well, you still have a mice problem?
Well, we have exterminate coming every month, but after somebody took out the cats from underneath the building,
wow.
That's when the mouse started. The mice started.
No,
so Beverly Hills has a mouse problem. No,
is not, there?
Yeah.
Pico Rubens has a cockroach problem.
Okay, but Beverly Hills is more exclusive. We don't have cockroach. We have mice.
That's right. Bigger things here.
Bigger and better garbage. So.
Yeah.
No, but it was interesting. As long as there were cats.
Why did they take the cats out of here?
I told you, Reb Hendel Lieberman was a Chabad artist. One of the living Torahs, he was in the back of the Rebbe, in the old pictures. He was Reb Hendel Futterfass's brother. Reb Hendel Futterfass had a brother, but you know, when they escaped Russia, everybody changed names with the false passports. So the real name was Futterfass, but Reb Hendel Lieberman changed his name to Hendel Lieberman. It was Hendel, but he changed his name to Lieberman. And he was an artist, a Chabad artist. beautiful pictures, the old style pictures. He used to send copies of the pictures to the Rebbe. One time, the first time he sent a picture in, there was a house setting, you know, with the ovens, with the pipes going up, those old fashioned Russian houses. And he had a Rebbe teaching with some kids, with the woman, and the real artist of Russian. And the Rebbe sent him at the first picture, where is the cat and the rooster? Because all the Yiddish, the Rebbe said, you're making it look real. All the homes in Russia had cats and roosters. Roosters to wake them up in the morning and the cats to get the mice out.
Wow.
So all those pictures afterwards of the house, those type of settings, all had mice and cats and roosters. I mean, the cats and roosters.
They had roosters in Iran too. They had both cats and roosters.
Not only Iran, by the way, the whole Europe was like that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I thought cats was a problem, Kabbalistically.
They didn't raise the cat. I mean, they
were
there.
It wasn't us, you know. Was they used to live there.
Wasn't a pet. They
just had a cat on the property.
So what happened to the cats here?
Protection.
What happened to the cats here? What happened to the cat at your show? Where'd the cat go?
Some humanitarian took him out, I guess.
Yeah. No, we had this lady came every night, yeah. Twice a day. She came in the morning and at night,
wow.
And she fed the cat.
Oh, she took it home.
And one day after a while, I don't know what, took her out.
Probably followed her home. What do I need the mice for? I have this nice lady over here.
No, I don't know. What.
You know, Ravi, you could always go to the shelter and get some cats and put them underneath. It's free.
Yeah, then the landlord closed them. Anyway, we're talking about that, by the way. We're discussing it with the landlord. Okay, Bari Ravashi. Ravashi asked a question. All the way, bottom line of the page. So the Gemara came to the conclusion, basically, if there was a place to hide, the women are good. Right? So Ravashi asked the following question. Also interesting question. A woman comes and she says, listen, I didn't hide, but I wasn't touched. Do you believe her?
No,
Pesha, anything. Not so simple. It's not a Pesha Asar. What's the Pesha Asar?
If she doesn't say anything.
Yeah, but it's not that there was no army. She didn't say I was captured but not touched. The army came to the city.
We assume that.
The army came to the city. So the Gemara is going to explain the question. Mal was to din. Mi amin, do we say? Mali the shakatap in the next page. She has a migui. We'll soon see. Or, odom aloy aminin. Meaning like this. If she wanted to lie, yeah, well, we learned already before, the concept of migui is, you believe a guy with what he says, because if he's lying, he could have said a better lie. Right? So you believe him with what he says, that's migui. We believe him with what he says, because if he wanted to lie, he would say a better lie. In this case,
she could have said
if she wanted to lie, she could have said I hid. She could have said I hid. Right? And if she said I hid, you believe her. That's what the Mishnah said. If there's a hiding place, you believe her. Now she comes along and says, I didn't hide, but I wasn't touched. So if you hold a migui, so to speak, she believed, because she could have said a better lie. Or do we say no? Okay? Why didn't she want to say? Because the women may call her bluff and say, you're a liar, you never hid with us. In other words, in this case, is it a better lie or it's not necessarily a better lie? That's his question. You believe a person with what he says because if they're lying, they could have said a better lie. Rav Ashi's question over here, Mefarshim explained, is basically, is hiding a better lie for her? Because maybe she's afraid to say I hid because the women will come along and say, no, you didn't, you weren't there with us.
She wasn't, there was no us because the whole cave can only hold one person at a time.
No, that was the Gemara's question. Now we're going back to there's a place for a lot of women.
Oh, for a lot of women.
So the question is integrity important or not? Okay, that's the question. Huh? So now the Gemara is going to give this a doozer cases. My Shinoah, so Gemara says, why is his question different than another case in the Gemara that we have? Does the Gemara tells a story. There was a guy who rented a donkey to his friend. Amalein, the owner, says to him, don't go on the road by the Pekod River, because the Ikamayid is water, and there are waves, and the waves might take the donkey into the water. So he warned him, don't go on this road, right? Because this road is near the river, and there is swells of the river, waves of the river, and it might take away the donkey.
He rented. Oh, he rented.
No, he rented a donkey. Okay. I rented you a donkey. And I say to you, don't take my donkey on this river, next to the river, because the water comes and he couldn't kill the donkey. And he told him, Zil b'orcha the Gerish, Neresh, I mean. Go on the Neresh road, the Lekamaya, where there's no water. Okay? One road has water, one road doesn't. He said, don't go on the water road, don't go on the other road. What happened? Okay? He took the donkey on the road that he was told not to take him in.
The water road.
And Mishamed, the donkey, died. Okay? So now they came, and then Tayra Todova. Because the guy was negligent. Right? And the guy said to him like this, but you have to keep this in mind. The owner said, don't go on that river road because there's water. Go on the other road. The pearl, he went on the water road. And the donkey died.
Right.
So he came to Rava. And he said, Rava says, what do you have to say? So he says, the truth is, I taka went on the wrong road. But, Miola have a Maya. There's no water.
There's no water?
There's no water there on the road.
How did he die, the donkey?
It died natural causes. Not because of the water.
Well, the wrong one.
So now, the guy says like this. The guy told him, go on this road, not on this road. He went on this road, where he wasn't allowed to go. And the donkey died. Now, if he wanted a lie,
I didn't go there.
He could have said, I didn't go there. No, nobody knows where he went. And he could have said, the donkey died a heart attack and died. Natural causes.
Right.
But he didn't say that. He said, I went on the wrong road, but there was no water. Do you believe him or not?
There's no witnesses, so why not?
Yeah, he could have said he didn't go.
The question is it a good amigo or not, yeah?
Yes. Amar Rava, so Rava it's paskind, Mali Lashaker, he has a rule of amigui, he boy Amar, Baruch the Nerish. He could have said, I went in the Nerish road. He could have lied. So therefore we believe him that he went on the other road but there was no water. That's what Rava paskind. Amar Abaya, Mali Lashaker, B'mokim Edom, Le'yamrinun. This is in the place of witnesses. Meaning like this. A migui that contradicts witnesses is not a migui. There's a rule in the Gemara. Migui b'mokam eidim. Yeah? You don't say. What's the concept of migui? Migui means, I believe him with what he says, because if he lied, he could have said a better lie. But if it contradicts witnesses, you can't believe a migui.
You're talking with the
editing
or the fact that I can go and check it.
One second. The Gemara says, and this is what the Gemara is explaining now. Besdin testifies there was always water there. It's like a known fact. In the road that he told not to go, there was always water. You want to believe him with a migui that he could have said that I went on the other road, but what is he saying? He's saying, no, I went on that road, but there was no water. But we testify there is water.
It's lying.
So right, why is it? So Abai says to Rava, why is he believed? Rava believed the guy that he doesn't have to pay because he said I went on the wrong road, but there was no water. So Rava said he could have lied and he went on the right road. Right, so you believe.
Assuming there's no witnesses.
So therefore, we believe that the animal died natural causes, not because of the water. So Abai says to him, what are you talking about? Bezdin testifies, there's an assumption in Bezdin that there's water there. So he's going against witness. How do you believe him? That's what Abai says to him. So the Gemara says like this, Hachi Hashtu, what are you talking about? Hacha vadi ika edim di kamaya. The Gemara says like this, on that Pekod River, there's definitely water there. Hacha vadi itmu. Was she the woman definitely violated? What was Ravashi's question? Ravashi asked the Shaila, if the woman says, I didn't hide, but I wasn't defiled. Yeah? They said, how are you comparing this to the case of the water over there by the river? By the river, for sure there's water. Over here, is the woman for sure defiled? No, maybe not. Chshoshihu. It's only a suspicion that she was defiled. But Malcolm Chshosha, I mean, in a way, a place of suspicion, we do believe him with a migui. That's what I've answered Abaya.
I can't get it that way.
The case of Rava, you got?
Yeah.
Abaya said it's not a migui, it's a migui Malcolm Aiden. So the Gemara asked a question. So what's Ravashi's question? What's Ravashi's question? That if a woman said, I didn't hide, but I wasn't defiled, is she believed or not? Right? Abai said to him, she shouldn't be believed. Because if there's an army, she for sure was raped. So what do you want to believe with Amiga? That she wasn't raped because she could have lied and said, I hid?
Of course, because even though there is army, but there is one hidden, she could hide over there. So,
but she said, I didn't hide.
It's not the same as...
No, but the Gemara says a different answer. The Gemara says, we're not for sure that she was raped. By that river story of Rav and Abaya, there was for sure water.
Yeah.
If she wasn't for sure raped.
Oh, so you cannot compare.
You can't compare the two cases over there. We can believe it.